10 years ago, we began the tree crusade. And then in 2010, when the church in Lake Forest was raised up, we just continued to go forward, continuing on in the same line of fellowship with the church in Irvine on this matter of entering into the truth. Now, why do we have this fellowship? Well, one thing, we realize this shouldn't just be for a select few. The priesthood is for everyone, right?
A kingdom of priests.
And, you know, in the history of God's people, there's always the concern about raising up another generation. So even if we are, say, well, I've been enjoying this for the last 10 years. Wonderful. But we still need to be impressed to such an extent that we can help others. I hope that the younger ones among us, or even younger ones that aren't here among us, that should be, would hear these words. So we need to be the best stewards of this fellowship. So this is given with the purpose of helping to strengthen our appreciation so that we would be upheld in our practice, especially as we begin a new book. We're continuing on the fourth book in the heart of the divine revelation, the book of Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a book on the experience and enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
We don't want any of the saints to miss this. Amen. You know, if your capacity is a Dixie cup or a salad bowl, still the Niagara Falls is pouring. You better just put whatever you've got out there. You say, well, I don't have much capacity. Well, don't worry. Just put whatever you've got out there. The Lord will fill it.
Amen.
So it's not I just can't get all that. Well, that's okay. Get what you can. Anyway, but we want to strengthen our appreciation through this word. So let's declare the title.
Building up a daily habit of getting into the truth with the help of the recovery version and Mike's Letties.
Now, the scripture reading, we're not going to read all of that, but I just was, just in a quick survey, impressed with the importance of the divine truth in the among God's people. The first thing that came to mind was in Deuteronomy 17, where God charged Moses that if the God's people would set up a king over themselves, that king needed to write out a copy of the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, so he would continue in them all the days of his life.
Yes.
He would write it out, and then he would read in it continually so he would know how to be a king. So anyone who serves God's people needs to have a certain measure of equipping. Even if you're to wait on tables, like the brothers in Jerusalem did, they needed to be deacons holding the mystery of the faith in a good conscience.
Amen.
It doesn't really matter. You think, well, I only serve with infants and toddlers. You still need to be holding the mystery of the faith, right? Mm-hmm. Every kind of serving one. So Deuteronomy 17 is awesome. Joshua 1:8 was God's command to Joshua when he was going to lead God's people into the good land. He says that you should, get into the book of the law, muse in it day and night.
Mm-hmm.
That then the Lord would make your way prosperous.
There you go.
Then you would have good success in your taking the God allotted good land.
Amen.
So we need to be people who, dwell in God's word. And then in Nehemiah, now you're coming not just from the front side, but from the back side. They drifted away from God's word. They disobeyed God's word. They got taken captive to Babylon because of their disobedience to God's word. Then God, through the prayers of ones like Daniel, brought them back, but they came back as Babylonian people. In the training we saw, we were Egyptian people and needed to be reconstituted with manna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they went to Babylon, they got brought back, and now they're Babylonian people.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed some like Nehemiah to call for Ezra the scribe to bring forth the book, open the book, and interpret it to them that they could know what was on God's heart.
Right.
And it says, then they rejoiced when they understood what was in the book.
Yeah.
Okay, so those verses in Nehemiah 8 are awesome. And even they were so excited, they were just wanting to bless one another, give gifts to one another, because they'd understood the word. And then in 119, the psalmist says, I treasure up your words.
Amen.
That I wouldn't sin against you.
Amen.
You know, I feel sorry for one like Solomon. He surely knew something of God's heart, but he didn't treasure it. So eventually he sinned against the Lord, and he lost his kingship in the divine economy.
Yeah.
And of course, you have these verses, for example, in Luke and in Matthew, particularly you see with the Lord Jesus, for example, in Matthew 4. The Lord was eating the Word. How did he defeat Satan? He pre-read Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, about everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. And then he spoke it as an instant word to defeat Satan.
Amen.
That was his reciting of Deuteronomy 8 in Matthew 4. And then when he came into the temple to begin his ministry, after his trial, he opened up the book of Isaiah and read to them about from Isaiah about the servant of Jehovah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you know, because he's anointed me to bring good news. Yes. And he says, this day, this has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
He had to know the word. Oh, actually, in that one in Luke 2, even as a young person, young people, hear this word. In Luke chapter 2, he was there as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
He was in the temple. He was, you know, listening to the scribes talking about the word. And he was asking them questions. You know, what did he mean by this? What is that? You know, I mean, consider a 12-year-old.
Asking Lord, questions is okay.
Yeah, he was asking questions. He was having some divine Q&A. You know, why did they have to take the Passover lamb 4 days before the Passover to bring it to... You know, I'm sure he asked all kinds of questions that probably troubled the scribes, because he was preparing for his offering himself. So he had to, you know, get into all the verses as a man. Anyway, Acts 2, you have the church continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching.
Right.
I have to jump. There's too many. 6:4, the elders and the co-workers, the apostles, they would give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Amen.
Just skipping. Philip the evangelist, he was ready. He went to Ethiopian and he said, what are you reading?
Yeah.
And then he said, he showed him the book of Isaiah. And then he said, starting from that passage, he presented them the gospel of Jesus as the Christ.
Amen.
You know, then you go to the Acts, Paul calls the ones more noble. Because the ones in Berea, because they were examining the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was the truth.
Right.
You know, you just consider again and again. Of course, in 16, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, these sister books, here you have the taking the word by the Spirit,
Amen.
Praying with the Spirit.
Amen.
And in Colossians 3, speaking to one another.
Amen.
To let the word dwell in you richly.
Amen.
How can you have a proper church life? We need the word. 1 Timothy 4:6, you want to be a good minister of Christ?
Amen.
You need to be nourished with the words of the faith.
Amen.
And of the good teaching.
Amen.
Right? And in 2 Timothy 1:13, we need to have guard a good deposit of the healthy words.
Amen.
Amen.
My 2:2, you need to what? You need to commit the things that you have heard to faithful men.
Amen.
Will be competent to teach others also.
Amen.
Right? And then in 3:14-17, he commended Timothy. As the one who what? Who had from a child known the sacred writings.
Amen.
Able to make them wise unto salvation.
Amen.
Just finally in 24-45, what do we need to do? We need to be those who what? Give food at the appointed time.
Amen.
So the Bible is full of the word.
Right.
And so we need to see it. So what is the Lord's recovery? Let's come quickly to the outline. I'm not going to cover it in detail. The Lord's recovery is a recovery of truth. Okay, brothers, A. The truths as revealed in the scriptures have been lost, misunderstood, misinterpreted, and wrongly taught throughout the ages. Hence, there is the need of the Lord's recovery. Saints, there is a need to recover all the divine truths. Sisters, one.
The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the divine truths as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Word of God.
Brothers,
the goal of the Lord's recovery is to recover the reality, life, livingness, strength, power, and impact of the matters revealed in the Scriptures.
Oh, we're not satisfied, saints, that we would just have the doctrines of the Lord's recovery.
Right.
Tell you the truth, we're not trying to be living. We're, if you are in the divine reality of these things, you can't help but be living.
Amen.
It's not a matter how high you jump in the meetings or how loud you shout. It's how much divine reality of these things has been constituted in your being.
Amen.
You may be 85 years old, like our brother Lee was, and you may not be able to move that quickly, but you're full of divine reality.
Amen.
And that meeting is full of impact.
Amen.
Okay? Then, I don't know, brothers, sisters, whoever. Next.
So the truth in the Lord's recovery is the consummate truth of the past 19 centuries.
We are not trying to rediscover the wheel, saints. There were some faithful men that took what Paul had and shared them. And Timothy, as a young person in the church life, picked it up. And then he was to tell somebody else. And then they were to tell somebody else who would be a faithful man. Amen. You know, we need to pray, Lord, give us faithful ones.
Amen.
Ones that have a capacity for these treasures we have in the Lord's recovery.
Yes.
That they could pass it on to another generation.
Amen.
So we receive from those before us. And then we continue to pass on. And all the time, we're learning and receiving from what those who went before us. Okay, two. The truth
is nowhere but in the Bible. Yet the Bible needs an opener. The life study messages with the recovery version and all the footnotes open the Bible to us whenever we touch them.
Brothers A.
Those who have read the life study messages can testify that these messages with the notes of the recovery version have opened up a certain chapter or a certain book of the Bible. This is not to replace the Bible, but to bring people into the Bible.
That is, into the divine reality of those things. Sisters, be.
The best way to be constituted of the New Testament truths is to use the recovery version with the notes and the life study messages.
Amen.
Brothers,
we are not for theology, but we are for theos, God. Our publications are not for any kind of ology, but just for God, the triune God, the process triune God, and the Lord Christ Jesus, the Spirit, life, and the church.
Amen.
Amen. Sisters.
We must consider the text of the recovery version with the notes and the life study messages as a textbook. If you read them in a light way, you cannot get into them. You must study them as a textbook.
Brothers,
we all need to build up a practice of spending at least 30 minutes in the Word every day, either three times of 10 minutes each, or one time of 30 minutes.
Okay, this is our brother's heart, realizing that some of the saints, their time is limited. And I'll tell you the truth, even if you can only get in 10 minutes a day, it's better than not getting in. So we want to encourage the saints with this kind of a life practice. This is what our brother said in the elder's training book, to encourage the saints. So this isn't to discourage the saints, but to encourage the saints. I guarantee you, whatever time you get in, the Lord will bless that. But he felt it was best if the saints could get into it in such a way. But I'd say this, you know, he says, if you only read it, you know, in a certain quick way, you'd only get inspiration. But I say, saints, if at this point all you can do is get inspiration, then get inspiration. Keep the taste. But we should aspire to go deeper, okay, to get into it in a further way, even with some study. Three.
We must get into the truths and get these truths constituted into our being. The solid truth ministered to the saints can build up the church.
Okay, brothers,
what kind of church we build up depends on what kind of truth we teach. There is a desperate need of the living truth to produce the church, to help the church to exist, and to build up the church.
Sisters.
When what we read becomes the truth in our being, this nourishment remains forever. The only way for the truth to get into us is through our mentality, our understanding.
Brothers,
if the truth gets into our memory, it becomes a constant long-term nourishment. Then we have an accumulation of the truth and will know how to present the truth to others, to make them solid and constituted with the truth.
One of my greatest privileges was sitting under Brother Witness Lee when he was pointing out the crucial points of Paul's 14 epistles. I don't know if he had planned it ahead or not, but he sat there for about, I don't know, at least 14 meetings or more, and he went through every book of Paul's 14 epistles with about a few hundred brothers, and he just says, now as we come to the book of Romans, the first crucial point in Romans chapter 1 is, and then he goes on to talk about the seed of David becoming the Son of God, and he goes chapter by chapter all the way to probably Hebrews chapter 13, hitting crucial point after crucial point. Well, in this chapter, there's two crucial points. In this chapter, there's three. And then he just went, just with his eyes closed, nothing in front of his hand, he just went through all of Paul's 14 epistles. hitting every diamond. He says, brothers, you need to dig these out. And you need to present them to the saints.
Amen.
In this kind of way, I realize, this is constitution.
Amen.
I feel like saints, we should aspire to be constituted persons who are constituted with the divine truth.
Amen.
Okay, next. Whose turn? We should, is this the sisters? We should endeavor. Go ahead.
We should endeavor to use the time to learn the truth, to know the truth, to speak the truth, to experience Christ through the truth, and to minister Christ to people by the Spirit.
Very good. Okay, so now this should be our endeavoring. Now, how do we practice? Let's read number 4.
The way to get into the recovery version with the footnotes and the life studies.
Brothers, hey.
Pray reading. By pray reading in our spirit, we will be nourished.
Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't study, but the first thing is we need to take care of nourishment. From the earliest book that I can remember, The Economy of God, if you read the preface, he says, if you want to get into this book, in the last paragraph of the preface, says you need to pray read all the crucial verses. Then you'll get the essence of it. And the last time I remember is in 1996 in the Vital Groups, where he said, what is the first P of PSRP? To pray read.
Yeah.
So we need to pray read to get into the crystallization. So from the 60s to the 90s, he didn't change his tune. The first thing in the Lord's recovery is to eat.
Amen.
So we need to be nourished by prayer. Sisters, be.
Study by studying with eagerness and diligence, we will understand with our mind.
Okay, our mind isn't first, but we still need to use our mind. In fact, in Luke 24:45, when he was with the disciples in the upper room that were kind of discouraged because of his death and they didn't really know what went on, he came to them, and then it says he opened to them in all the Psalms, the prophets, the law concerning stuff. And he says, he opened their mind to understand the scriptures.
Amen.
Not bad even to pray. Lord, as I'm coming to Philippians chapter 1, Lord, I just ask you to open my mind to understand the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a strong spirit and a cool, a mind, right, that we can understand. Brother C.
Memorize key verses, outlines, and footnotes. By memorizing, we will hold fast the word in our heart.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean that you try to just deliberately memorize. Sometimes you may.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Lee, in fact, he would give rewards in the trainings in the early days. If a brother would say, I remember the Hebrews footnote, the one about all the wonderful aspects of Christ. He says, memorize this note. And then I think he was giving away something. I can't remember what he was giving away. He wanted to give rewards away. To people. He, many times in the later years, he'd give away free recovery versions to ones who would say, they would learn all the main points of the book of Revelation. He'd say, give that one a, give him a recovery version or something like this. Anyway, so we need to get into it. 2 Timothy, hold a pattern of healthy words. And then Psalms 119, it's your words have I treasured in my heart. Okay, now, brothers and sisters.
Speak by speaking to one another and to all people, and by prophesying in the meetings.
Amen.
We will allow God to flow through us and out of us to be light to others.
Okay, do you want to shepherd people? Do you want to preach the gospel at any time? Then you need to have some element of the word and practice to speak it. Maybe you got it in the morning revival or from your life study reading the day before. Speak it to someone. This will cause that word to be more digested in your being. Brothers,
with companions, by pursuing with companions, you will teach and encourage one another and continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching.
Colossians 3:16, what does it say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. So we need the one another. Even if you're the best student of the word, without the one another, I guarantee the word will not dwell in you that richly. It may dwell in you, but not as richly as if you speak it to others. Okay, Sister Zeph.
Daily, by practicing daily, you will build up a lifelong habit.
Okay, I think this is important. It's better to do it small little bits daily than just once every 2 weeks, you carve out 3 hours. Better to do a little bit. The Bereans, again, in Acts 17, it says they examine the words daily to see if these things were so. Now, for sake of time, I'm not going to go through five in a thorough way. It just points out the benefit of doing so. Let's read just five together.
Church triumph, meetings, and gospel being strengthened and enriched by the saints' daily pursuit of the truth.
Now, it doesn't mean that when you come to the small group meeting on a Friday night, you necessarily read through a life study message. But it could be you've been enjoying it, and at the dinner table, you know, Adam asks, I don't know, Stephen, or I don't know, whoever you're with, I can't see, you know, about a certain point that he was enjoying that day. And maybe he's been pondering on it, read a couple of footnotes, he asks a question, and then you begin to fellowship in a very spontaneous way. So we should consider this kind of way of bringing it into our house-to-house church life. And then it points out that even this proper diet will kill the germs in the church, the negative things. When we come to the meetings, we'll have something. It doesn't mean that you just necessarily have just planned, this is what I'm going to share. Sometimes you may. But it may be you prepared, then you come to the meeting, and the anointing of the Spirit gives you something fresh and new just because you had so much in your being. You may take a different direction than what you wrote down before you came to the meeting.
Amen.
I think maybe for sake of time, this is probably good enough. If we take this way, we'll be the faithful stewards.
Amen.
So why do we say it today? Actually, next, the schedule for Irvine is not supposed to start until next Monday. But because, for one thing, it'd be good to consider a little bit this week. If you want to get a head start, that's great. But, you know, but if not, still, do you have a Philippians life study? If not, well, order one from the brothers. They'll try to get it to you this next week. Or go to EPUBs and download it into Kindle or whatever you have. Consider who will be your companion. Is there a sister that you will get on the phone with and enjoy a little bit of a life study? You know, if you can do this twice a week for 15 minutes, maybe once on Wednesday and once on Saturday or whatever it is, you could have a little bit of digestion of these messages. And I'm still so reminded of Brother Lee in 1981, after he finished Paul's 14 epistles. He told the serving ones at Living Stream, and some of us kind of snuck in there a little bit and got to serve. He told them, now you need to get into these messages. And they started to come out. And he says, find a companion. And you speak to one another. You may be in Corinthians, he may be in Galatians. It's okay. Of course, we're all in the same book. That's even better. But he said, you ask him, what did he enjoy from Corinthians? Ask him, what did you enjoy from Galatians? And we did this. And I still remember in 1982, when my companion getting into the life study of Ephesians and him asking me what I got into, and I was so supplied. Anyway, those times are memorable. They're sanctified. They will build up the church. Anyway, so I think we need to stop on this portion of it. But maybe if any of there's a little overflow, and then...
Hey, the last point's good, too.
Okay, oh, last point.
Age.
Let's declare. If we spread these truths,
we will become the faithful servants to serve food to the Lord's people at the appointed time. Then we will fulfill the commission of the Lord's recovery.
Amen. Praise the Lord.